Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 92 with Justine Evers.
And so navigating my way through school as a first-generation college student, I made a lot of mistakes, and I could have done things a lot differently if I would have had some sort of mentorship or guidance on how to make decisions. So I believe that I kind of went through that, and I found myself within military higher education space over 6 years ago and really just wanting to be who I needed when I got out.
For those of you who have listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about Service to School. It is a free program for any veteran. They will help you, pair you with a student, help you find the right education opportunity for you, the right school, help you with the application, help you with everything you need to just really accelerate you on your career. And today, I'm speaking with Justine, who's the Senior Director of Programs at Service to School. I think this is a great episode for any and all veterans because Justine, she was medically discharged unexpectedly. She was enlisted in the Navy, came out of nowhere, and really struggled to figure out what to do from there, which is something you've probably heard from a lot of veterans on the show. And, you know, what she ended up doing is she's really devoted her career to helping other veterans avoid that problem. She's worked for over 6 years in a variety of educational institutions helping veterans navigate the educational and academic environment. And now with Service to School, she's taken that to the next level, helping people around the country find their dream school and know what it takes to get accepted and to make the most of their opportunity. So I would encourage you to listen to this. I would encourage you to go to servicetoschool.org and check them out. Justine talks about a lot of great resources around networking and mentorship, how to choose whether to go to school directly or industry, common mistakes that veterans make when thinking about schools. So if you are on active duty, if you're recently transitioned, and just even considering the option of going to school, this is a great episode for you. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Justine. Well, joining me today in San Francisco, California, is Justine Evers. Justine, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super pumped to be here today. I love the work that you do.
Me too. I have just really enjoyed seeing everything that Service to School has been doing, and so excited to dive into your background and just the knowledge you've obtained. And so for listeners, I wanted to give you a brief background on Justine. She is the Senior Director of Programs at Service to School, an organization you've probably heard me talk about a lot on Beyond the Uniform. She's a Navy veteran and a Navy spouse, and she's helped countless veterans find and be accepted to their ideal college and grad school program. She started out as a fireman in the U.S. Navy and has dedicated the last 6 years to transforming our active duty, military spouse, and veteran community through academic advising and program development. She's worked at ECPI University, the University of Maryland, and the College of San Mateo in Veteran Services Coordinator positions. So Justine, first, anything to add or amend to that intro?
Oh, no, that makes me so uncomfortable. No, that's plenty.
Awesome. Well, let's start out with your own story. I'd love to hear the story of how you decided to leave the Navy and how you approached that decision.
Yeah, it was actually a forced decision. I was medically discharged, so it was not a decision that I wanted, that I was excited about making or was even made for myself. I joined the Navy at 17 out of Landover, Maryland, which is right outside of DC, and I joined it as an opportunity to travel, serve, and learn as much as I could. But I joined with no intention of ever getting out and was kind of signed up like, I'm here 20 years, this is it, this is my steady 9-to-5, I'm going to deploy, I'm going to do all these things, and this is just it for me. I always knew college was an option, but I never really thought it was a realistic option for myself, so the Navy just seemed like the best fit, and I was totally, as you said, a fireman in the Navy. I was undesignated fireman, and I was one of those kids that was like, sure, I'll try all these jobs and then I can figure out what I want to do. And we can kind of go from there. So I had no idea what I was doing. shortly after, I had no idea. Shortly after, I found out that I actually was diagnosed with osteoporosis. So at the age of 17, 18 years old, I had bones of an 80-year-old woman. And so I was quickly faced with several stress fractures in both feet, my hips, my back, and my bones were so weak that I couldn't even walk on the steel decks in the Navy. So I quickly was on light duty and served at Port Operations in Norfolk, Virginia, which takes care of all the ship movements. I worked for a team of bosun mates, so it was pretty entertaining and a lot of fun. And but I was medically discharged 2 years later. I was not able to serve, and it was not a choice that I was very excited about. So I had to find my way without a plan. And I've probably made every mistake possible, but I'm thankful for that because now, you know, many years later, I wouldn't be who I am without those experiences. And I wouldn't be so dedicated to this community if it wasn't for that. So I believe this is what I'm meant to be doing.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I just can picture how jarring that would be to have this unexpected departure from the military and all that uncertainty, and then having to navigate that on your own. I just imagine that plays a big part in your desire to help other veterans find what they want to do and find what's right for them.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I after I was discharged, I said, okay, well, I guess I better go to school because I don't really know what else to do. You know, I went through TAPS and they taught me how to do a federal resume and they taught me all these great things. But when I started to put it into place, it really wasn't panning out for me. I'm like, well, I keep submitting my application to all these jobs, but I'm not getting any callbacks. And I had no idea how to navigate the system. So I found myself in community college and I just defaulted back to what I did before I joined the Navy, actually, which is really common. I remember beating myself up for it, but I just went back to, I went through college using the Montgomery GI Bill. And so I didn't have the housing stipend. So I would, you know, go to school all day, waitress at night, and do it all over again every day to make ends meet, and just kind of lived on my own. I stayed in Norfolk, Virginia, actually, because I was so disappointed with not being able to travel and see new things. I actually stayed there and didn't go back home and continued to keep my circle of friends and build upon that. So that's actually how I became a military spouse shortly after.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
And what would you want listeners to know about your career from, you know, exiting the military until starting with service to school?
Oh man, it is not a straight line of success, that's for sure. It's been a huge learning curve in me having to navigate the system of, so backtrack to my time at community college and then becoming a spouse and then having to move every 2-3 years and then getting through my undergraduate degree and my graduate degree and husband deployed, 2 babies in diapers. I have no idea how I survived that through graduate school, you know, but it kind of almost felt like because I wasn't, I didn't want to get out of the Navy, and then I became a spouse and I kind of was still, I still had a tribe. And I quickly learned very quickly on how wearing the two hats was helpful, but then it could hinder me in some ways as well. And so navigating my way through school as a first generation college student, I made a lot of mistakes and I could have done things a lot differently if I would have had some sort of mentorship or guidance on how to make decisions. So I believe that I kind of went through that. And I found myself within the military higher education space over 6 years ago and really just wanting to be who I needed when I got out, just really wanting to kind of be that mentor for people. So the academic advising and the admissions portion of it were some of my best jobs because I got to work with active duty service members or military spouses or veterans kind of one-on-one, helping them determine what they wanted to do. And they all came back with the same story. Like, I got this federal resume and I just can't find a job. And so I'm thinking about going to school. And it was interesting to kind of see those commonalities. And I really didn't understand how common the story was really until about 2 years ago. And that's when things have really taken off for me and really working on a national level and trying to fill gaps of service. But it's just really focused on being who I needed when I transitioned out and trying to have education at the transition table a little bit more than, hey, just go find a job. Because with post 9/11 GI Bill, it's been in such an increase of student veterans nationwide.
What's your advice? Because it seems like a common decision tree when I have people on the show is they have that decision when they leave the military. Do I go straight into industry and get a job, or do I go to school? And I know that that's probably a very personal question based on, you know, people's desires and backgrounds. But I'm wondering if you have any advice for listeners about how to consider whether it's right for them to go straight into a job or whether there's an advantage or disadvantage to going to school instead.
You know, I think with the post 9/11 GI Bill, I don't think there's a whole lot of disadvantage. I think I see people transition out and jump into jobs right away, and more than likely it's the same job they were doing when they were in the military. And then they quickly start to realize that they have other aspirations or goals that they want to pursue. And the great news is that the post 9/11 GI Bill really allows people to do that. I would like to see, but then there's the other side of it where a lot of people are getting out and they did maybe 4 years and they're still relatively young. For example, my brother, Marine Corps, you know, he got out and he was almost 22, had already served two tours in Afghanistan, 0311 Marine Corps, and he had his whole life ahead of him, navigating the college system that way. Like, he knew he wanted to go to college because he wants to be an investment banker, and he just knows that he has to go to college to do that. But he still had no kind of idea on how to get started, where to go. Should I go to a four-year institution? Should I start at a community college? The difference between nationally accredited versus regionally accredited, the difference between an in-state school versus an online for-profit school, and the pros and cons to all of those different decisions. When he went through TAPS, I mean, even still 2 years ago, and I went through TAPS in 2003, and he went through two TAPS, you know, 10 years later, still there wasn't really a whole lot of conversation around those questions on how to navigate that. And the hard facts are 62% of veterans are first-generation college students. Mm. So a lot of them, you only know what you know. And so I often found myself, you know, helping him through the way, but I was helping his entire barracks kind of navigate the system. And that's when I realized that they're this is bigger than me. This is bigger than what I do on a daily basis. And so that's why I found myself leaving College of San Mateo recently and getting on board with Services School, because they're making an impact and filling gaps of service on a national level. And I was able to put a lot of my advocacy in my keynotes and my presentations and the people that I network with and becoming a voice. And really, it's been really exciting to have that voice on a national level with an organization like Services School.
And I want to delve into some of the common problems that you see veterans facing and with education. But let me just make room first. I'd love for you to explain for those listening who aren't familiar with Service to School, how would you explain the work you do and what Service to School is?
Mentorship. Exactly what I feel like I wish I would have had. I think I saw LinkedIn not too long ago, and I think Florent Grover, who's a good friend of mine, he posts, you know, what do you wish you had when you transitioned out? And his answer was mentorship. My honest answer was Service to School. I wish I would have had someone help me navigate the system, or even just the beauty of it is open those options for schools like Yale, MIT, Cornell, a lot of our VetLink partner schools. They weren't even in my vocabulary when I was transitioning out of the military. And having worked in the last 6 years in the active duty space and on the veteran space on the community college level, it's still the same. A lot of these schools, they're like, they're only schools you see on TV. Yeah, right. You know, and what I found the beauty about service to schools, once they apply to become an applicant and they're paired with an ambassador and the mentorship program starts, a lot of them, some of them know exactly what they want. I want to go to Yale, I want to go to Harvard, or I want to try and get into these Ivy League schools. But I often find that a lot of these students are just trying to get into a four-year institution, you know, down the road. And what happens is once our ambassadors are working with them and see their transcripts and get to know them, we find that a lot of our applicants qualify for these top schools. Mm. So the beauty behind service to school, which I personally am just in love with, and it's like a career match made in heaven, is not only are we educating these admission officers on why they should invest in student veterans, but we're also empowering the applicant and the student veteran to explore options that they may never have never even explored before. And with being around 5 years now, and the founders working really hard to build this organization where it needs to be, we're at a really awesome time right now because we have a lot of data showing 5 years of experience in this and being able to showcase the success rates and stand next, you know, alongside Student Veterans of America and the Invest research that they just recently released. We have found the same thing. And so it's like that return on investment and that post 9/11 GI Bill and what our veteran community is contributing to the country is freaking amazing.
And for listeners, I'll put in the show notes, but there's a couple of related episodes as Justine's talking that I'm thinking of, which is Tim. Actually, I don't even know how to say Tim's last name, Justine. I'm embarrassed. Is it Tim C?
I think it's Tim Shaw.
So he founded Service to School. He talks a lot about the program. David Lee, he talks about using Service to School. He went from the Marines. He'll be attending Stanford Graduate School of Business this fall. And then Alex Chivers, who talks about going from being an Army Ranger non-commissioned officer to Dartmouth. And Justine, when you were talking about a lot of these veterans that you work with that realize and are surprised that they could get into some of the best academic institutions in the world, David and Alex were both examples of that, I think, of people who were able to go to some of the best institutions in the country. And so I love that thought that, you know, even listeners who might not imagine those are possibilities, realizing that you may have a lot of this potential they don't even realize you have, and a lot of this opportunity you're not even aware of.
Absolutely. And David Lee and Alex are actually core leaders within our organization. So it's just a prime example. Our organization is built on the pay it forward model. So a lot of the applicants that we help, actually, once they're through, they're so grateful for our services that they actually become volunteers as ambassadors or grow into operational leads like Alex and David, who I work closely with, and the organization can't survive without them. And a lot of that is just built on passion for wanting to pay it forward and kind of recognizing that the system's not talking about these things, the system's not filling these gaps, and us strategically coming together on how can we build service to school to kind of fill those gaps of service.
I remember it's
an amazing thing.
Yep. I mean, I remember when I first spoke with Tim, I was so excited. And one of the reasons I speak so frequently about service to school is when I applied to business school, I got help from veterans at every school I applied to. I know I would not have gotten into Stanford without that. And when people ask me now for advice on applying to Stanford Business School, usually, you know, I'm happy to help, but usually I say, like, look, it's, you need to talk to someone more current. You need to talk to someone who's there or who's been there in the last couple of years. And my information is dated, and so it's not as valuable. And so what I love about your model is that through your ambassador program, you're constantly getting people lower to the ground. You're constantly getting people who are either at the school or who are recently there, which keeps your organization evolving as the schools themselves inevitably change and evolve. And so I think it's such a brilliant model to keep this growing and to keep it constantly keeping up to date with the environment.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that's why it's so spot on. And that's why I'm excited to be in a leadership working right alongside Tim every day, because I too am getting to a point where I'm coming from, I see it from a bird's eye view now. You know, I didn't go to Stanford. I actually just got accepted into Stanford Ignite program this summer.
So oh, that's awesome.
Summer.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked about it. So, but it's interesting for me. I think the perspective I bring is I know I understand our applicant very well. And I've worked in the higher education system for the last 6 years and kind of working alongside all these issues and kind of understanding what the community college vet coordinators are facing on a daily basis, lack of resources and such, or just lack of knowledge and exposure to this community. So it was a tough decision for me to leave and get on board. It was tough, but easy, right? So it was tough to leave that arena and, leave, you know, a lot of my colleagues. I'm like the champion, the one that kind of rah-rah kept everybody motivated and would bring in resources because they need someone down there. But I just kind of got to a point where, okay, I successfully built 3 local programs and I can keep doing that and really have huge impact in those local communities, or I can shoot higher and try and bring change nationwide and help everyone across the board. You know, we're helping people in every state. I mean, so it's just an amazing time to be a part of the service to school. We're doing great work and being able to kind of develop our programs on a high level to serve more.
And having had, you know, over 6 years of helping the veteran community in education, what are some common mistakes that you see veterans make when they start to think about schools, when they start to think about applying?
Yeah, I think the common mistakes for me are that I see is that they all want to get the degree as fast as possible. And while I can relate to that, have been in that seat, I think that is probably the biggest mistake that a lot of them make, the being impatient part of it. I would love to see more people taking the college time as just a time to reflect and allow yourself to transition and be okay with not having a set in stone plan. I mean, in reality, you do have a plan, you have your schedule and you have your classes, but taking that time to really explore new career fields and areas of study. I think a lot of veterans will transition out and they're like, okay, I did this in the military, I have to study this and continue on this path. And one of my favorite parts about my job working in the higher education space was getting to know those students and telling them, like, getting to know them so well and then having that moment of, like, it's okay if you want to study sociology. There's, like, a ton of things that you can do with this degree, and have you ever considered that? And them going, really? You know, so for me, that's my favorite part, and I think we should talk more about that. And then the second thing would be researching reputable schools and making informed decisions and understanding and not do that, or kind of understanding the power of your alumni network. That's something that a lot of student veterans don't even realize the power behind it, or even what networking is. It's like an overused word these days, but kind of breaking it down and showcasing how powerful that can be, because you can continue to have your veteran community, but it's really important for you to have several networks, and your alumni network is definitely one of those.
This is great. I want to drill into each of these. And so I have 2 quick stories, because I completely agree with what you're saying on this first point of the impatience, wanting to get that degree, wanting to get through. And then also that aspect, it almost seems like the permission to pursue what they want. And I know that for me, you know, at when I look back on my time at business school, it is so amazing that I had 2 years with zero responsibility, zero obligations, and I could do whatever I wanted. And I know now, like, in the thick of a career, it's so hard to take a step back to get a sense of where I'm headed, what I want to do, what energizes me, what skills do I need. And so I recognize how valuable that time is for exposure and for, like you said, reflection and self-knowledge and all these things. My wife is always telling me it takes time to save time, which I hate when she says it, but it's so true. And I can see the urge of most veterans to, like, achieve the objective, which is the degree. And yet knowing that there, you know, there is that like if you do give yourself that space and really dig in during that 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, however long your education is, it will be so much more valuable in terms of where you end up when you leave. So that was one thought that came to mind. And then the second thought was, I love that sense of having permission to pursue whatever it is you want to pursue. And I'll share a story like very recently where, you know, when I got out of the military, my story in applying to colleges was I was an officer in the Navy, I managed people, therefore I'm going to be a manager in the business world. And I told that story 1,000 times in business school to my classmates and in interviews. And when I started a company, like that was my story as well. And realized relatively recently, I actually hate managing people. I am not, you know, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm not a natural manager. I'm not great at that. I'm not great at just the meticulous day in, day out attention to details. And when I finally recognized that, it was so liberating to be able to focus on my strengths at my company rather than deluding myself into pursuing something I neither like nor want to like. And so I love that thought of that you're able to give these veterans the permission to study what they want and to be honest of like, hey, I don't know if this makes sense, but I really like sociology and that really energizes me, and giving them the room to explore that. I think that's so incredible.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why I really gravitate. I've worked alongside the FCA for a couple of years now, and as a former chapter advisor, I really got to know our chapter. So I was a chapter advisor, program coordinator, but my office was in the vet center. So I was very close with my students, very, very close. And I became even closer with those who were involved with the FCA chapter and as their advisor and mentor. And it's an interesting thing, but what I love about the empowerment that's happening around the student veteran space with these SVA chapters and Leadership Institute series is I'm finding that they're kind of figuring that out a little quicker than normal, but in my experience. They're kind of exploring options that they may not have ever explored before, and they're getting passionate about the things that really energize them, and they're going to work on it. So, a lot of things that I would present about on the SCA chapter is one thing I'm known for is building your program around your students. And so I was featured in GI Jobs on the cover last year with Tiana Romero. She was our chapter president, and we built that chapter from the ground up. And I would always tell her, you know, your goals are going to change, but what really drives you and your leadership? You know, what kind of issues do you guys want to tackle? Because if you're not passionate about it every day, it's not going to work. This is a lot of work, you know? I mean, so you have to be excited about it. And by having those conversations, I can think of at least 3 or 4 students within that leadership board that changed their major, you know, halfway through the semester and was like, you know what? I came in, I just transitioned out, and this is what I was majoring in, and actually have learned that I still want to be a cop, but I think I want to study English lit, and I think that I'm actually open to exploring like what may happen there if as I continue down that path. They go, I really don't know what I'll do with that degree, and I go, well, as long as you're open to it, that's really half the battle. So keep doing what you're doing, and so that to me is like the most powerful thing anyone can do is keeping their options open and doing exactly what you said as far as like being okay with saying, like, this isn't for me. No, you know, this isn't for me. And as much as it looks really great on paper, this isn't for me. And I talk about this often of just kind of don't complain. And you know, if you don't like something and you're passionate about it and you want to see it be different, then work to change it because it can be changed. You just need passionate people working on that topic and it can be changed.
How do you recommend that, especially if someone's, let's say, on active duty right now, how do you recommend that they even start to uncover what they may want to do? Like, and I know that they probably won't have to declare for undergrad, they won't have to declare a major until they're in the school, and you know, but I'm just wondering how can a veteran on active duty start to get a sense of what sort of program might be right for them?
apply to service to school. Sign an ambassador.
Yeah.
I mean, get paired with an ambassador, get on platforms like Veterati, and just start talking to people. I think when you're active duty, you're so isolated to that base community. And being even a military spouse and becoming a spouse shortly after, and then I mentioned earlier, like, you know, I hadn't really left my tribe. Well, right now we're in San Francisco. We're not around any bases. You know, my husband's got the sweet gig right now where he's just coming home every day by for dinner because we just got done doing a really crappy IA. So this is like your be home for dinner tour. But it really clicked for me living out here in San Francisco and how isolated even the spouse community, but the active duty community. And then if you get out and you're still around that community, you really don't step out past that community until you have to. And to be honest, I would really like to see more active duty service members talking to civilians in these positions or the positions that they think they want to be in more, because I think they'll expedite their exploration phase tremendously and a lot faster. But I think that a lot of veterans are kind of, you know, we love our community and we lean on each other, and that's great. But there's a lot of benefit in talking to people who aren't in this community and bridging the gap together, because I tell my students often, I go, the sooner you accept that you're a veteran and use it to your advantage and recognize the positive lens of that, the faster you will move along in the process. But the more you focus on the negative attributes of how you feel left out and you don't feel like people understand you, the slower this process is going to move for you, because there's nothing wrong with being different. There's nothing wrong with feeling different, because the reasons why you feel different are actually things that people seek out. You know, the qualities that you hold and possess are actually qualities that people want to hire you for. So be loud, be proud, but also make sure that you are talking to people who aren't veterans, because they are the ones that can help you navigate that system. I work in veteran services, but most people don't get out and work in veteran services. There's a lot of us, but most of the people I meet that are vets doing awesome stuff, and most people on your show are doing awesome stuff within other industries. And we all are just really aligned and connected through the passion of, you know, giving back. But there's not many of us that are, there are, but they're not, if that makes sense, that are just solely dedicated on veteran services, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I love, what I'm taking away from what you're saying is just the power of, in finding out what you want to do, the power of making connections with others who have done that. And I agree. I mean, I think it seems like there's two ways to learn. You either learn by making mistakes and learning from them, or you find people who have made those mistakes and learn from them and try and prevent making those same mistakes. And I love that thought of talking to service to school and a brand ambassador and learning about their experience and having them help, you know, weigh in on what they've learned about different career potentials and different major potentials. And I love the thought of talking to people directly in industry and finding out, you know, okay, like, what's sales like? What's being in law enforcement like? Like, just getting more data points, getting more information to get a sense of, is this something I'd enjoy or something I wouldn't enjoy? And I even think back when I was at the Naval Academy, that was our internship experience. Like, me spending a summer on submarines, spending a lot of time with people on submarines, thinking like, oh, okay, I like these people. These are people that seem like me. That influenced my decision to join submarines. I imagine it's a similar experience of, okay, I'm talking to investment bankers, I'm talking to people in private equity. Is this seem like I would like it? Do these people seem like they're similar to me? That can be really helpful in figuring out if that's the right path to try and pursue.
Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%. And it's just a matter of exposing people to more options, because you know, when I grew up, the what you wanted to do is you just had to find a 9-to-5 steady job, collect your benefits, go home, and do it all over again. College wasn't seen as valuable where I was coming from, and so I didn't really have anybody to understand like the value of this, or to even explain to me what the Ivy League system was and why I should shoot for the stars. Or no one ever told me, like, hey, you should probably take advantage of SAT and test prep resources while you're on active duty, because that is going to be of tremendous value to you. So it's just a really interesting dynamic. And for me personally, that my mission is just like, I remember what that feels like, and I want to be a part of organizations that are working to help those people. And Service to School is doing just that. And it's an amazing team to be a part of. So I couldn't ask for anything better.
That's great. And I wanted to dig into that second point that you talked about of researching reputable schools, making informed decisions, the power of alumni network. So that's obviously one of the major reasons to work with Service to School, which, as a reminder for listeners, 100% free. Everything we're talking about here is free of charge. So one of the advantages of working with Service to School is getting that hands-on help in finding the right school for you. But I'm wondering, Justine, for listeners, what kind of tidbits you would leave them with, or what sort of advice you'd give them about how to think about that power of alumni network, or how to find the right school and make that informed decision.
Yeah, it's a tough system to navigate, because there's just so many schools out there. And in reality, people are going to go to where their mentor or their buddy tells them to. That's just like the reality of it. I think if you get involved with Service to School, you'll quickly meet people and can network with people and find your way joining our social media sites and our Service to School communities on Slack and Facebook. You know, I think you'll quickly be exposed to things that you had never even considered. But the advice for me would be slow down. You know, slow down and get to understand the system. I think people are very focused on what job they want to get and what school they want to go to. But for me, it's like you need to learn why is it important for what school? Like, why do people keep telling me to educate myself to make informed decisions? Why? Because I think there's a lot of people out here saying that right now. And it's like, why is that important? You know, what are the things there that I need to be looking for? And trying to, you know, slow down and network. I can't really emphasize that enough. And for me, I recently have been really working alongside Veterati, because I feel like that platform is creating that space to do that. And Service to School is actually working towards something very similar as well, as far as technology, implementing technology into our organization is a big project for us this year, with trying to connect more people. Our system's been very pay it forward, email based, and I think there's a lot of value in being able to bring like that LinkedIn platform kind of group to light, and trying to just make more connections.
Yeah,
as much as possible.
I think of our chief of the boat, Master Chief Granito. He was, you know, his catchphrase was always "knowledge is power," and I think in many contexts that's true. And especially like you're saying, it's just that knowledge of meeting people and the knowledge of what's out there. When I was on the boat, I didn't know. I knew of kind of government contracting, like Booz Allen Hamilton, and I knew about working on the civilian side of the military and kind of being like a government contractor. And that was kind of the only career possibilities I knew about. And when I was thinking of business school, all I really knew about was Harvard Business School. That was the only one I heard of. And so just starting to recognize, you know, if I were to go back, being honest about what I don't know, which is I don't know what job potentials are out there. I don't know what schools are out there. And so starting to have those conversations, starting to broaden my horizons of what the possibilities are. And that makes it easier to choose what possibility might be right for me. And so I love, I'll post a link for Veterati. I love that thought of finding mentors, finding people who have gone before you to learn about what they do, what they like, and mistakes they've made, and how to get to where they're at. I think that's just a really smart way to move the process forward a lot more efficiently.
Yeah, I mean, and the second piece of that, I think one that I had a hard time with, is being okay with asking. Yeah. I think that's something that our community isn't really good at.
Yeah.
So, for example, Stanford Ignite, you know, I had to have 4 or 5 people push me to apply for that. And that I'm having dinner with a good friend of mine, and they go, you know, you're doing it. And I go, doing what? And they go, you're doing what you tell all your students not to do. And I kind of stopped, and I was like, damn it, you're so right. I totally am I'm doing it, like, even still right now, someone who's working in this space. And so for me, that was really humbling for me to realize, man, if even I am doing this, it really just took me back to ground zero and, like, why do this, and trying to remain humble enough to remember what it's like to navigate that at 19 and 20 years old. You know, I'm married, 3 kids and a dog, you know, I'm living a whole nother life, mid-career, you know, but it just kind of took me back to realizing that it's a scary place to be if you're much younger and or may have been medically discharged and you had this plan and the plan went different. Your plan's always going to change. And so I applied, and I just found out last week that I got accepted, and I'm thrilled, like, never in a million years. And my mom, it's interesting, you know, I tell her, and she's like, that's great. I'm like, hey, mom, do you know what Stanford is? And she goes, it's probably great because you got in.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So I go, yep, it's fantastic. You know, and so just it kind of brings it back down to, you know, I just wrote an article about this, about these things just, we take it for granted sometimes that what people know and or what they've been exposed to, matter of fact, is not really about what they know. It's just what they've been exposed to. And I think it's important for us to keep into perspective that not everybody may be aware of the options. So that's that for me. And it's just been genuine, you know, just trying to, how do I piece it all together, you know? And for me, that's service to school right now. They're the ones that are doing things and have been and are going to continue to do it day in and day out.
What about, do you have any thoughts for those listening who are on active duty about how to think about pursuing education while in the military, while on active duty, versus pursuing it once they're out of the military?
Yeah, this is an interesting question for me, because I might make some people mad, but I think this is a really hard discussion to have, because I think the whole TA process and pursuing education while on active duty looks a lot different than pursuing it as a veteran, someone that's transitioned out. I think everyone should be using their TA, absolutely, if they have the option to do so, they should be, because that can really save you a lot of money in the long run with your GI Bill. And but my concern is that I feel like my experience, even in the Navy and working on this side, that whole get it as fast as you can mentality is where that comes from, is while you're on active duty. Because they teach you that you have your JST and you get all these credits and you could just go to this school and take 4 classes and boom, you got an associate's degree and you're done. And so I think that can be a really slippery slope when then you go to apply to a place like Harvard or Yale or Stanford or any 4-year Florida State, you know, VCU, you apply to anything. I think it can be a little bit it can be a different experience on the outside. So my advice would be to use your TA for sure, but make sure that you're going to schools, that state institutions that are on bases that are actually transferable to the schools that you plan to pursue when you get out.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think, it seems like so much, for me at least, of my educational experience was the in classroom interaction and student interaction, and just so little of it for me was just the content that I was learning in class, and so much was the life experience of there's just 1,000 different things going on every single day, and going to different events, meeting different people, hearing different perspectives, learning about different backgrounds. And so I think that it's just as simple as like taking an online class, I think that there's like, it's very different experiences and very different impacts on the personal growth there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a lot of schools out here that, you know, are even doing a lot of heavy marketing to where they're not on base. So it's an interesting dynamic to where if you've been on base, you're cleared to do work there, you're regionally accredited. But there's a lot of TA money that goes to schools that are not on base that, you know, may not even be regionally accredited. And so that's where it goes back to educating people on the difference between those things, because going to a nationally accredited school is fine if your goals fit that. But if you plan to pursue a bachelor's or a master's, getting an AA from a nationally accredited school should not be even on your brain. And unfortunately, that's happening a lot. I mean, that's the sad part. Is when I worked for UMUC, state institution, you know, state of Maryland institution, I had to turn away people with who use their TA going to some of these schools, and they couldn't even transfer any of that credit. Period. It won't happen. And that's like a tough. That's a really crappy conversation to have to have, and that's heartbreaking for the student because they made the decision based on what they knew and what they were told, and may have been wrong things, but they put in a lot of work to even get there. It doesn't really discredit the work that they did, and they have to start all over. So that happens a lot, and that for me is like really heartbreaking because they just don't know.
You mentioned Veterati earlier. I'm wondering, what other resources would you recommend to listeners?
Definitely the SVA for sure. The SVA, if you're going to school right now, and if you're not involved and you're a student veteran and you're not involved with the SVA, I highly recommend it. If there's not a chapter there, I highly recommend starting one. And if they felt alone in that, because if for some reason there's not a lot of just a huge veteran presence, look me up on LinkedIn and I'd be happy to advise you along the way. I mean, I just think there's a lot of power behind the SVA and the national conference. And I often would go to these national conferences with students and they'd walk in and they see all these corporate sponsors who are looking to hire them. And they're like, man, I had no idea that all these people wanted to hire me. And it's just a very empowering tool to have in your tool bag. But Service to School, Veterati, SVA, American Corporate Partners, that's a really great one too. Mentorship. A lot of my stuff revolves around mentorship. And lastly, LinkedIn for sure is a huge resource that I don't feel like enough students take advantage of. They don't see the value of, why should I network now? I'm not looking for a job. And I go, you're missing the point. That's actually when you should be networking, because you're being genuine. Like, you're literally building relationships with people. And not asking for anything. Have you ever thought about just, you know, asking people what you can do for them? A lot of things come out of, you know, you doing for others, and 2 years later, guess who they're going to think of when there's a job opening? That is what networking is. I think people, that's what just building your network and period is. I think a lot of students misunderstand that. They think, well, I'm networking, I'm going to grab coffee, and I'm going to ask you for a job, and that's just not how it works.
This is great. And for listeners, I'll add links on the show notes for Service to School, Veterati, Student Veterans of America, American Corporate Partners, all of these resources. Justine, I always like to leave the last question open-ended. And, you know, we've talked about a lot here, but I would love to open it up for any other final words of wisdom or advice for listeners.
I always just go back to that whole areas of study for what jobs you're searching for. That was a hard one for me, of just kind of accepting where I am and what my I always say my superpowers are, and finding a way to apply those superpowers, that those are my gifts, to things that I'm passionate about. So I'm big on don't complain, change it. And if you see a broken system, like, jump in there. Don't duplicate. There's a ton of, you know, I see the big picture in a lot of those gaps of service, and I had thoughts of going out on my own, and I made a really great decision, and I'm thrilled to be a part of the team, a part of Service to School. It's like, there's so much duplication in this space. My biggest advice for people is to don't duplicate, join an awesome team. You know, there's just so much work to go around. Be a team player, try and fix it in other ways, and do what you love. Because if you do that, then you're in a, sky's the limit for you.
Well, Justina, this is great. I appreciate the work that you're doing to help so many veterans. And listeners, I encourage you to check out Service to School at servicetoschool.org. You'll find links in the show notes. It's an incredible program. It's worth any veteran, active duty or transitioned, any veteran considering, as it's just a great perspective on how to think about education and how to find the right program for you. So thank you very much, Justine.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Surface. Thanks for listening. Three important notes before you go. First, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook for Beyond the Uniform listeners. I love Audible. I get 3 books a month, and it's a great way to use net, or no extra time, to polish off books while you run, drive, etc. If you go to beyonduniform.io/books, you'll not only find this offer, but you'll also find a list of every single book that has been recommended on this show. One in particular I'd recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. This is a great story of determination and also a glimpse at what startups are really like. That's at beyonduniform.io/books. Second, there are so many great resources out there for veterans, it can be difficult to know all about them. That's why at beyonduniform.io/directory, you'll find a list of every single resource that's been mentioned on the show or that I've been able to find. You can also add your own if you find one I've missed. Lastly, I've put together several different free ebooks that provide data for veterans about their civilian career possibilities. This quantitative information serves as a great complement to the qualitative interviews I do each week. Go to beyonduniform.io, click on resources, and you'll be all set. Have a great week, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.